W4DJW Mobile.
WN0GR. You. I'm Bernice watching TV in the background, the FBI, and I just over doing a little CW. What you up to tonight?
Ribs to eat, so I'm making a run to Zaxby's. I'm going out bird hunting.
A number 8 shot, a 12 gauge. Well, we went pig hunting earlier, wild pig, down at Mutt's Barbecue.
Man, they give you so much. There's no way I can eat what they give you.
Ate the buffet, so I had a couple of ribs and a couple of pieces of barbecued chicken and some mashed potatoes and gravy and some baked beans. And that was about it. A piece of bread. They stopped making like homemade buns down there now, and it looks like a English muffin or something. Not near as good as what it was. The bread isn't.
I do like Mutt's, but it's heavy. That's heavy food. When I go out there with a meal for her and me both, I bet that bag weighs 10 pounds.
It is. We went about 4 o'clock and was on the phone with the daughter up in Michigan. Her husband's retiring today. And she was going to break in on the retirement party. And she teaches school, so she just got out of school. And so that held us up some. We usually eat only 2 meals a day, breakfast, and it's late. And then we eat another meal, anywhere from 2 to 5, usually more like 3 or 4. And so that was a little bit late for us, too. Bernice asked me if I wanted some banana pudding a minute ago. I said, no, I'm still full from the Mutt's.
Yeah, it does stick with you when you eat it. Unlike if I ever eat at McDonald's. Within an hour or an hour and a half, I'm hungry again. Just the opposite effect. I eat it much, I'm not hungry till the next day.
I'm just about scared to eat there. They had an E. coli breakout with their Big Macs. We haven't ate there in quite a while. Oh, I was trying to pick up who this was. It's Antony in Rotuma. A little over 7,000 miles. Anyways, I was just looking around on your 10 meter. Seems to be a little bit open tonight, Dave.
Times lately, the 10 meters was opening up. Opening to where? To Europe or to Argentina or where?
Open is out in the Pacific. He's 3 Delta, 2 Alpha Golf, stroke portable. It's in Rotuma. It looks like a beam. Says it's 7,312.4 miles. And, Dave, it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere there in the Pacific. If you took a bearing to, in the area of Samoa, Fiji, New Caledonia, if you kept going, you'd eventually run into Australia. But it's just southwest of the United States, probably, about 190 degrees, I guess you would say. Well, in fact, there ought to be a bearing on there. Excuse me, 265.7 west. So not quite 270.
Antennas were set up. I could make that regularly every night to Australia on less than a watt, like a tenth of a watt, sometimes even less than a tenth of a watt. That's when I was building the Genesis radio. The guy, the designer of the radio, he said, before you build the amplifier, just run the exciter overnight. And see if you make any contacts with Whisper. Just run some Whisper just to see if it can make contacts. I had a bucket load of contacts that it made overnight with just the exciter, not even the amplifier portion of the radio, which is less than a tenth of a watt. So I could get that like I can get Texas. For some reason, I can get Texas like like it's next door to us. But then when I try to go up to the west, when I try to get to Japan, those are some of the hardest contacts I've ever made. W4DJW.
That's pretty amazing, with that little wattage. This guy, he's got a real nice signal. He's at 28030.5, and I already worked him. He's just making contact after contact. Looks like a little guy. Yeah, he's pretty strong. But that's amazing. That's the way that FTH stuff is, I guess. You just don't take any power at all to get around. Supposed to be another one that said Mike 100DX at 28022. I'll zoom down there and look.
I just have to make sure I built my radio right. And that's what he was doing. He's saying before you build the amplifier, make sure your radio is squared away. And that's how we did that. And that was pretty cool. I mean, I even made contacts with him, the designer of the radio, before my radio was finished. Hey, just so you know, I'm 1, 2, 3. I'm fourth in line. So if I disappear off the radar, you'll know what happened to me. W4DJW.
Yeah, that's New Zealand. Let's see if I can get him. Said Mike 100. Yep, I got him, Dave.
Made that look easy. I could hear him throw your call back. I could hear. As soon as you quit, I heard him come right back at you. I said, yep, you got it. Knocked it out.
I never ever worked 10 meters till I wanted to get all the bands on DXCC, and I noticed I just never did in the old days. There was a little bit CB for me, and I didn't have a 1010 number or any of that, so when I got all the other bands, except 160, of course, and all those guys are going to FT8 now, so it's really difficult. It's not a very good band anyway, in my opinion. I went ahead and ran up to 100 real quick and got that, but as far as doing it regularly, I just never did. It's one of the best darn bands and the biggest band there is. Oh, no. I don't like 160 at all, but I've only got like 65 countries in it. That's the only one I don't have to have 9-band DXCC, but I never even used to count until I come down here and the guy's got me interested in numbers.
A 160, a reliable 160. You could short the ends of a mystery antenna together, and Rusty used to do that to get 160, and it worked. Wasn't the most efficient antenna, but it was functional. But I never took the time to do that. I just used the super loop and the mystery antenna and went with 80 meters and all the way up to 10. And I didn't like 80 that much. There wasn't a whole lot of good conversation on 80, but the rest of them, 40 is the one I used to go down to Australia, you know, frequently on 40. And that would also go down to Argentina pretty easy. From Argentina to Australia was easy. From getting up, you know, New Zealand was in that pack too. And then getting on up to into the islands over there, the Pacific Islands, and to Japan, that was tough work, man. That was tough. I'd do it every now and then, but I had to focus.
Dunedin, New Zealand. I used to stay up real late on the weekends because I was a working guy, and Friday and Saturday night I'd stay up late just to talk to Micronesia and down in that area. I really found some interesting contacts after about 11 o'clock, and it'd be like noon the next day there. That kind of fascinated me. But after being over there, I understand the time change. But It was really enjoyable. I mean, I've talked to college professors that had students that were, you know, going inland to an island that was some of the most remote on Earth, and it's just really fascinating to me. And met a lot of nice people.
Sometimes hard to understand, but if you work at it, you can get it. I think Thailand was the longest distance one that I ever made. That's like almost exactly on the opposite side of the Earth from us.
This year, for the first time in 30-some years, and I got Vietnam for the first time in many, many years. And you're right, that's some of the most difficult in the around here to get there is. From Kansas, I had a beam, and it was only up 50 feet. It only had 100 watts for 19 years. But guys, I could talk to Australia a lot. This cycle 25 is pretty good, but it don't seem like the ones in the old day, to be honest with you, Dave. Central Teot.
New Zealand, that he flew airplanes and did ham radio both. And he made a lot of YouTube videos. And he was really good. He applied his antenna knowledge from ham radio to his airplane flying. And then he made videos of it and shared them on YouTube for everybody to see. And I really got a lot of good information from him, a lot of insight from some study. He didn't get along too well with the New Zealand version of the FAA. I forget what they called them. But because I think they shut him down a couple of times. But eventually got his license back and could fly again. They clipped his wings for some reason. I can't remember why it was. But anyway, you can make really good friends like that. Made some friends like that in the UK as well. And where else? Germany. One of those guys in Germany came over here and stayed for like 3 years. He flew airplanes and did ham radio both as well. You can meet some really nice people on ham radio, W4DJW.
Our daughter Amy's neighbor got his pilot's license down in Australia. And I guess it's pretty difficult to get down there, Dave.
It's more difficult than the United States. I was wanting to do that over in France, too, but there just wasn't enough time to do everything. Because they right below where I lived, to the south, about 20 people to private pilot flying, and they had gliders that were towed up by powered airplanes. So you'd hang your glider there, and then when you wanted to go up, you'd let them know, and they'd have a powered airplane out there waiting to pull you up in there as high as you wanted to go.
Those gliders. I seen one the other day, and it had a jet engine on top of it, and he was doing aerobatics. I couldn't believe it. A huge wingspan. But Bernice and I used to go out when we were stationed there, or I was, in Mountain View, California. We'd go out to Milpitas, and there'd occasionally be gliders out there. I can't remember where they were landing at. I don't really know. But they'd fly right along the edge of the... Oh, they were rolling mountains. They weren't big, you know, like the Rockies or something. But it was wonderful just to watch them. That seemed so peaceful.
Well, they've got the land, the terrain to do that, and the air coming in from the Pacific Ocean. And I might lose you here, because when I get under this thing, I'm second in line for the window now, for the first window or two. But when they've got the cliffs for slope soaring. So that wind coming up off of that cliff, they can do figure eights over the edge of that cliff all day long and dive and pick up speed every time they do it. And the fastest speed record of a radio-controlled airplane is a glider doing that, except he turned it into big elliptical circles, a big ellipse. And eventually he got it to where the ellipse was going up the mountain and then down the mountain, and then up the mountain and then down the mountain. He made it over 500 miles an hour in those loops, and he could go from the top of the mountain to the bottom of the mountain in less than a whole second.
That's totally amazing. I'd hate to have been in such a thing and felt the G-forces.
Well, other people tried to do what he was doing, and they showed bloopers of it, and their wings would just explode. They'd stress so much, so hard when he did the tight radius at the end of the ellipse that a lot of them would just explode.
About that, they used to have a RC control thing, and they put so much fuel in them, and they had a big wingspan, and they'd go up, and then they were on their own. I forget what, free flight or something like it.
I had several of those. I had one called a Viking, and the wing set up on a pod up above the fuselage. It's just a thin wall of wood. Okay, it's my turn at the window, so I'll be back in a little bit. Let you get some more C50 out there. N2TRW4DJW.